Just a 1-0 win over Crawley this week. Ben Benson said we almost looked good and we almost scored more, but we battled and fought in a tense game. Aaron Lewis says winning when you're not at your best is a sign of a good team. Al Roberts didn't see a thriller, but a game that could be massive by the end of the season. And Trevor Griffiths is happy. A clean sheet, 3 points and the automatic places. Steve Bennett, a win is a win. Not pretty, but it is mission accomplished. Adam Turner says we start the season scoring more than teams. Now we will keep you out and pinch a goal or two because we have good attacking options. Cresty Road Ender says we were in charge of the game throughout except the last 10. I'll take that any day of the week. Adam Brazendale is a very happy Crew fan. He agrees with Lee Bell. We deserve more goals, but we win at home again. Joe said the defence was solid. We took our big chance and a big 3 points with the games coming up. James thought it was a flat game, flat ground and a flat atmosphere. But that's the kind of game you have to win if you want to go up. Neil Hulse says good teams find a way and we are a good team. He's looking at a map of League One grounds. Chris Blackledge called it an important win with the next 3 games and credits the halftime sub as changing the game. A lot of comments on Crawley this week. Simon called them anti-football, even time-wasting when they were 1-0 down. Alexandra6077 said they came with a game plan to stop us playing football and they got what they deserved, with too much of their time-wasting unpunished by the ref. Ash Cowley also mentioned the ref, saying he let them get away with too much, then didn't like it when Davis went down. Graham Miles said they spent their time-wasting, but he's happy to keep winning 1-0, even if it was tense. Joe says anyone that pays money to watch Crawley needs their head examining. Alex says it was enjoyable in part, but with 1,000,001 crosses. He singles out Mickey and Offord as class as always, but labels turns as unbelievable. Ian Perry said it was great to get 3 points in games like this, with the defence and Davis looking very solid. Jonathan Ditt didn't think it was an enjoyable game, frustrated with Tracy, and doesn't think bringing Kirk on is worth it if we only get it to his feet once in 30 minutes, but always take 3 points. Adam thought it was a workmanlike performance, but Kirk was quality when involved. One criticism comes from Simon O'Neill, who says maybe if they charge less than £27, they'd have more than 4,600 in for a home game. But Pete is pleased to finally see us take the 3 points that put us into the top three. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. We have just got the one game this week, the home victory over Crawley. To go through that game, our panel today is possibly the most inexperienced that we've had since we started doing the podcast. Firstly, we've got Tom Mayle with his 3 appearances. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Then we've got Henry with his 2 appearances so far. Hello, Henry.
Hi, everyone. Nice to you. Thank you for having me on again.
Not a problem. And making only his 2nd appearance today is H. Robinson. Hello, H.
Hi, Stu. Hi, everyone.
Right, we'll get started then. 3rd week in a row, I think, where we get to start on a transfer. Henry, Kieran Westwood has come in on a short-term deal as backup goalkeeper. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, it's a good decision. He's a very established name. We need cover in that position. You'd feel confident if he had to step in and do a job. And by all accounts, he's been around the club for a good few years anyway, so that obviously helps with his kind of understanding about the way we play. And it can't be a bad thing at all.
I would have said intuitively that a punctured lung sounds pretty bad. And it sounds like he's made a quick recovery, which is excellent. And it sounds like he might even be in contention for playing the next game. But I don't think it's any bad thing to have some experience cover on the bench in case anything else happens as a complication of Tom Booth's injury.
Hey, we'll go on to the game then. There was a couple of changes. Billington getting a rest, Cooney coming in, and then Long, another injury, it sounds like 5 weeks or so, and Mateusz Holicek coming in. What were your thoughts before the game?
Yeah, obviously disappointing and worrying to lose Chris Long. I mean, suddenly that Charlie Kirk signing looks like it could be a really important one on that left side. I'm probably a little bit worried about Holochek playing in centre mid. I think he's obviously hugely talented, but it's a tough job for a teenager who's not started many games.
Henry, I don't know if you're like me. I wasn't too fussed about the Holochek thing. I think Chris Long's not been playing particularly very well at last few weeks or so. And, you know, the key for Crewe and these academy players is finding a way to get them in the first 11. So I looked at that and went, oh, you know, fair enough. Let's see what Mateus can do. You know, he's obviously had the last experience with scoring that goal at Barrow. So let's build on that.
Yeah, I think we have to do it at some stage with any player. We did it a lot with Tabernacle last season, and he obviously went on, you know, to do it extremely well. He adapted to League Two after a while. It obviously takes a while because of how physical things are. You've got these boys coming up against experienced men who have been playing in the lower leagues for a long, long time, and it does show at times, but there's no other way to learn than to get them in the team. He's obviously very talented. I think he's kind of struggling at the moment to really make his mark on the game. I think he's good at kind of collecting the ball. He's good at nicking in and kind of getting a tackle in and winning the ball back for us. But then it's more when he's kind of getting forward, whether it's the right pass, whether he's dribbling past the man. I think that's where he's going to develop by playing more games. So absolutely fine to see him in the team. Like you say, Long, you know, I'm a massive fan of Chris Long. He hasn't been as good as he can be in recent times. It's not a surprise that he's injured again, unfortunately. And it's lucky that we do have players that can deputise while he's not there. Kirk being one of them, and obviously Holosek as well.
And then, Tom, if we move on to Billington, I think I said on last week's pod that I thought his game at Tranmere was the worst that he'd had in his short time in the first team. So giving a youngster a rest after playing continuously for the last couple of months, as he has been doing, when you've got someone like Ryan Cooney on the bench, it seems to make sense.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, we set out to match Crawley in their formation. So we started out with a five at the back, and it kind of made sense to go with Cooney as a wing back, somebody with a good engine, getting up and down. And you know, it's probably reasonable to say that, you know, Billington's crossing ability is perhaps not his best attribute. So I think the rationale for it was possibly tactical, possibly giving him a bit of a reset as well, and giving Cooney a chance to show what he can do.
Let's get on to the game then. Who wants to jump in on the first point I've got, which was it was really unfortunate to see that injury to the Crawley goalkeeper, 90 seconds into the game, 2-3 minutes in?
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like from Lee Bell's post-match interview that we caught them by surprise with how we set the team up. And I mean, we'd seen Salford adopt the same tactic with a mysterious goalkeeping injury to establish a team talk. What really tickled me was Cooney listened in to the team talk and got barged out the way, which I thought was absolutely priceless.
It's the best thing Cooney did all afternoon, I think.
He's really taken that role upon himself, hasn't he, to be just the shithouse of our team that we need. Although his performance on the pitch wasn't as good as it could have been, that was quite interesting to see. And yeah, the Salford comparison is a really good one. Even down to the kit, everything was the same, and it felt like, are we going to go through the same 90 minutes that we went through 2 weeks before? Goalkeeper's gone down. This seems to be the new EFL tactic that I've noticed from this season. Goalie's going down, then teams doing a huddle and getting tactics across. And after 3 minutes, you're thinking, really, is this the match that we're in for once again today? And, you know, it looked like that was what they wanted to do. It looked like the 0-0 was what they wanted to take from the 90 minutes, really.
And at least against Salford, you felt that the ref had no choice but to go along with it, but could see what was happening. You could see a sort of degree of antagonism on his face. I mean, the fella yesterday just fell for hook, line and sinker, you know, both times, to be fair.
I think you're right, Henry. I think this is the new EFL tactic, because obviously goalkeepers are the only people that won't have to go off the pitch if they get treatment. But I think as well, we have to sort of take it as a mark of respect to Crewe. You know, people are coming to Gresty Road fearing the team, fearing the league position. And it's a respect thing, I think.
It is. And yeah, we're surprised by it, because obviously we consider ourselves to be hugely like overachieving this season. But yeah, it is. And I've been watching the City Everton game, you know, a couple hours before, and kind of seen the same thing happening in that match, and kind of City struggling to break them down. And obviously, I'm not comparing us to Man City, but it kind of it felt like that sort of a situation that you can recognise that a team are going to come and effectively just try to stop us from playing, take a draw, and get away from, you know, the team that were in the playoff places at that point. You know, with 1 point, they would have been very happy with that.
H, the next thing I'm going to mention is Aaron Rowe. I'm obviously watching it on iFollow, so I've got the camera above the away end. For me, straight away, I was like, oh no, he's in trouble here. I don't know where the three of you sit at Gresty Road. I'm presuming you're in the home, in the big stand. So I don't know whether you saw it clearly, but he was a very lucky boy to get away with that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. We sit at the very back of the main stand, so it's not the best view for where that happened, but it looked like he'd flown in off the ground. I've seen an angle this morning, which I think is even clearer. It was a horror tackle, really. I think probably he was lucky it was so early in the game. I think if it wasn't in the 10th minute, the ref might have been a bit quicker to send him off, and I'd have had no complaints if he was sent off.
Yeah, no play on Twitter this morning, and yeah, it didn't look good.
All right, yeah. I think you're right, H. I think it was the fact it was so early. You know, the referee took an age to decide, and I think he sort of used that time to think, calm down, and 10 minutes in, and let's get on with it with a booking. Again, very fortunate, I think, for Aaron Rowe. Let's get on to some actual football then, because we've talked about a goalkeeper being injured and a foul so far. From the first 25 minutes, Tom, I thought this was going very similar to Tranmere last week, where we had a lot of the ball. They were set up to frustrate and contain us. And I just, even though we did have the majority of the play, I just didn't really see us creating a much in terms of goal scoring chances.
No, I felt that we spent the first 30 minutes of the game really trying to come to terms with how we were playing. I mean, for the first part of the game, we seemed to set up with a back five with Thomas and Holychek playing quite deep in front of the defence, and we were defending far, far too deep, in my opinion. Yeah, there was nobody kind of running through midfield, you know, far too much space between the attack and the defence, and we never really got anything going. And Crawley were playing a bit on the break, and there were a few hairy moments, largely instigated by Ryan Cooney, who, to be honest, had a bit of a shocker. Their wing back had him on toast. I mean, Cooney's quite good going forward, but you turn him and he's got low acceleration going back the other way. And there were a few hairy moments where he got caught out by their wing back. And really, the best chances they had in the game were as a consequence of two or three errors arising from Cooney.
I struggled to work out what our identity was, and it's not often that I've been able to say that this season. There were times where I saw Offord doing something quite uncharacteristic, which was just launching the ball to Nevitt, which in some ways I was kind of thinking that's fair enough, because we can't always try and play triangles and get it to the wings. Sometimes, you know, we do need to just go direct, and Nevitt is obviously strong. He can take the ball, he can hold it up. But it was strange to see Offa doing that, because he's normally a lot more measured with his passing, and to see him just kind of hoofing it up at times was disappointing in some respects. However, I guess we were trying to find a way to get into the game. I think Shiloh had a couple of opportunities down the right-hand side. That seemed kind of a bit more in keeping with the sort of football that we try and play. Unfortunately, Shiloh getting into those positions, he wasn't able to make the most of it. I think there was a couple of times, one very, very early on in the game where, you know, I think it came from a free kick where they slipped him through on the right-hand side. He had plenty of time to look across to see who was in the box. He's doing that thing where he doesn't know whether to shoot or cross, and then in the end, nothing's really happening. But beyond that, there wasn't a great deal going on. We actually looked probably more effective on the left-hand side with Rio kind of finding the occasional bit of space to put across, but obviously, we weren't really making it happen up top. The balls into the box weren't great. Nothing was really sticking, and it did start to get to a stage where you're thinking, how are we going to score? These don't look like they can score. They don't look good enough to put anything together, but how are we going to break them down and just get that goal that we need to win the game?
Yeah, there was a lot of times where final ball was really missing. We were either putting high crosses into the box that their giant keeper was easily catching, or overhitting through passes that were going out for goal kicks. So it was quite frustrating for a while. Yeah.
It wasn't obvious where the creativity was coming from. You know, Rowe was good in flashes, as he usually is. As you say, you know, Shiloh got in some good positions, and yeah, Nevitt was dropping off of their three defenders and finding some space in the box, but nobody ever managed to dig out the final ball to find him in that first half hour. I felt that Holicek was playing far too deep. I'd like to see him much further up the pitch. I see him more as a number 10, really, than a deep-lying midfielder. And yeah, it felt like we lacked Tabina, particularly somebody to knit the play together and carry the ball forward and find that decent final pass.
I think this is the I say problem, with fully aware that with the result being what it was yesterday, Crew have moved into the automatic places, but the problem at Tranmere is he looked like we could have played all day and not scored. And then yesterday, it felt very similar to me until we scored that goal, which we haven't gotten to yet, and we will. It sort of came out of nowhere, really. And I don't know. I think the problem is the midfield creativity. I think, you know, Tracy and Rowe can do so much, but we are missing Tabina, we are missing Powell, and we are missing Joe White. Those are three big players that we've had this season, and we've lost all three. A point I wanted to make, though, is would you, and I think I know the answer to this, would you think about moving Luke Offord back into defence to put another midfielder who can get on the ball and create things? Or is that defensive solidity that he's providing as that screen so vital to us picking up points that you'd rather keep him there?
I mean, we pushed Offord into midfield kind of midway through the second half. I felt that we started to get a grip on the game, you know, around the kind of half hour, 35 minute mark, when Offord did push forward, and it just pushed the whole team up the pitch, and we started to link play and make things happen, and people were putting in crosses that Nevitt was getting on the end of.
I suppose a lot of it depends on the team that we're playing as well, doesn't it? I think in a game like yesterday's, we probably could have afforded to have a more creative player in the midfield. Whether Offord's role as a sort of defensive midfielder was completely necessary in a game like yesterday, I'm not sure. But then coming up against a team like Stockport, who you know are going to play brilliant football, then, you know, he does become more important, and we maybe need to look to create somewhere else. So I tend to think that we create our best stuff when we go out wide, when we can slip players in, when the, you know, the fullbacks and the wingers are playing triangles with each other and creating space for each other. I think that is where we look our most effective. So maybe putting another defensive midfielder in might not be the worst thing, because the personnel realistically isn't really there. Like you say, now that we don't have Tabina, now we don't have Powell and White, who is that creative player in the midfield? I'm struggling to think, because I don't think I've seen it from Osterfield, although I don't think he's a bad player. I don't think I've seen it from Lee at all, actually. So, you know, I think we have to play to the strengths that we have, and a creative centre midfielder isn't a strength that we currently have until Tabina comes back, I don't think.
Yeah, let's move on then. H, as I say, I think Crew started off really well for 25 minutes in terms of being on the ball, controlling the game. I thought Crawley came back into that in the end of the first half, and they probably had the best chance of the first half with the one that, I hate to say it, but Cooney sort of cushioned it into the path of the striker for him, and then he sort of fluffed his chances.
Yeah, Cooney didn't have an enjoyable afternoon at all, did he? And he, not sure what he was trying to do, just take the ball down, but he's managed to just knock it straight into their player. And don't think it was a particularly difficult save for Harvey Davis. Low, but his lap power wasn't quite in the corner. But he did what he had to do.
Yeah, Tom, it came to no surprise to me that the change Lee Bell made at halftime was Cooney off, Billington on. I think, is that proof now that space is Lewis Billington's to lose?
I think so. I mean, we've seen over a few months now that Lee Bell doesn't really seem to quite rate Cooney, maybe doesn't quite trust him to do the defensive side of the game, which is a shame. And I think of all the recruitment we've had, which by and large has been really good Cooney's probably the one that stands out as being the one that hasn't quite made his mark yet. He came with rave reviews from the Morecambe fans who really liked his ability to get up and down the touchline and rile the opposition a bit. And he's just never really quite managed to build momentum. I mean, we have switched him in and out of the team a fair amount as well. I mean, he started out being second choice to Rio and now he's found himself second choice to Billington, but I don't think you can argue that Billington has made that position his own, and particularly in the kind of latter end of the second half where we were not say on the rack but certainly defending our lead, we looked so much more solid with Billington in that position.
Cooney doesn't seem to start particularly well. As in, when he's starting the game, he doesn't seem to have a particularly good game. But then when you bring him off the bench, you feel that you have trust in him and that he can come in. It's usually, if we're ahead in a match, he'll come on and you think, yeah, I'm happy with that. He'll do a job, he'll get stuck in. One thing about Cooney is he does give it his all and he really tries, and he's a very likeable player. But I just wish that likeable player could have performances week in, week out that we could all be raving about, because he gets into the opposition, he winds them up. There is a really good player in there, but we're just not seeing it enough when he starts matches.
I agree with that. I think the best two things he's done in a cruciate is that penalty at Sunderland in the cup earlier in the season, and the other one was, and I'm fully aware of the touch he did to get himself into this position, I'm not talking about the assist, I'm talking about the celebration at Barrow, where you can see, I'd say he's celebrating at least as much as every single fan who's in front of him. I really want him to do well. I just think Lewis Billington has pushed ahead of him now in this team. H, the second half for me sort of carried on a very similar vein as the first half. I'm obviously sat watching it on my laptop. I was getting more and more frustrated as that second half went on. And again, I just didn't feel like we were creating much. And what we did, it didn't really lead to clear goal scoring chances. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium? Was it getting a bit more tense as the clock ticked on?
I think so, yeah. I think the atmosphere was a bit flat. I think from where we were, it sounded like the 118 Crawley fans were louder than the Gresty Road end. And I think, yeah, it was starting to get tense. Every time we overhit a through ball, you could hear the groans of frustration. And yeah, it did. It was starting to feel like that goal wasn't going to come.
Is that a consequence, again, like we said about Crawley coming with like spoiling tactics, is the consequence of us having a good season that if we're not winning at home to teams we think we should be beating, the atmosphere isn't quite as high as it needs to be, maybe?
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that. I think you do start to just expect us to beat teams at home, especially at home with our strong record at Gresty Road.
I do think there was quite a good buzz in the air, though, yesterday. I think largely because of Kirk coming back. I think there was just a constant buzz. But you're right, in the second half, that it definitely took a dip. Obviously, then, kind of Kirk comes out and starts warming up on the touchline. That gets people going. And I think it helps as well, knowing that we have players to bring off the bench. I think that keeps the anticipation. I think that keeps people believing that, even when we are struggling to break a team down, there are going to be options that can come on and make a difference. It felt at times louder than I've noticed it this season. I think, obviously, we're kind of progressing through the season. We are doing well. I think it felt busier, certainly where I sit yesterday. There was a few more people knocking about. So it was strange. At times, it was really like a top atmosphere. And then other times, like I say, there was just that kind of silence and then frustration as well.
I was surprised you didn't make some changes sooner. Obviously, you swapped out Cooney at half-time. I'd have liked to have seen another change in the midfield a bit earlier. We were clamouring to see Charlie earlier than we actually did. I might have swapped out Holly Check for Lee a bit earlier than he did. I thought when Lee did come on, he gave us that bit more kind of bite and hard running in midfield. I was quite impressed with him actually when he came on. I thought he made a difference. I think CBR coming on gave us a bit of a lift as well. He seemed to have come out swinging, and I thought he had a good game. He was winning headers up front. He was doing his characteristic sort of excellent defending at the back. So we improved as the game went on, but yeah, it was a bit kind of flat in the early second half, and there was this sense of, you know, come on guys, let's make something happen.
I do think there was a good intensity from the team that when they came out in the second half, I do think Bell definitely said something to them to obviously rile them up and kind of make them believe that if they got after Crawley and they closed them down, that they would force them into mistakes that would, you know, result in a chance. And I thought they were excellent at that. I think there was a really noticeable moment, I think, early in the second half where Nevitt was just, you know, he was like chasing down his man. He was not going to stop chasing down his man until he won the ball back. And that obviously comes from Bell. That obviously brings the atmosphere. And it was a very good thing to see, because that game could easily have slipped away from us. We could have got frustrated, but they just sort of went, no, we're going to take control of the situation. We're going to chase our men down and, you know, we're going to make sure that we win this game.
There's a couple of points that you guys have made there. The first one, Tom, you mentioned you were pleased to see Lewis Lee and thought, were quite impressed with him. I mentioned to a couple of people after the game, if you are a betting person, I would say it's pretty much you're making money if you put the next crew player to get sent off in a football match is Lewis Lee. It will be him. There was a couple of times, the second one especially, I thought he was very lucky to get away with a yellow card. He flies into tackles like someone can only have been playing in the National League can. I know it's a bit Wild West down there, but he needs to temper that, I think.
To that challenge, he went in over the ball towards the end. I think, like Rowe in the first half, he was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Yeah, the other point I was going to make, Tom, is you sort of went through the three subs, but how good is it to be able to make a triple substitution and Courtney Baker Richardson and Charlie Kirk are two of those subs you're bringing on? When we look at the bench that we had to put out in December, when we were going through that really bad spell, it's phenomenal. Like I just sat again watching it at home and I was like, this is good. I'm enjoying this now. Charlie Kirk off the bench, 20 to go. We're winning. We're 1-0. Yeah, this, I'm starting to believe that we might actually do it, you know, guys. And I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. But after putting in a performance like that and then coming away with three whip points and the substitutions that we're able to make, I think we can compete with these teams that have got all this money, you know.
For a club with our resources to have that quality on the bench is extraordinary. And I think you have to give a, you know, massive thumbs up to the board that they've backed Lee Bell and they've put the money where their mouth is and given us a real chance, because we've got that squad depth. That's what I'm the same. I'm really believing, you know, I'd be absolutely devastated if we didn't make the playoffs from this position, because we've got that squad depth now. And if it isn't working, we can switch up, we can change. If we've got injuries, then we've got, you know, we're not bringing on academy kids to fill those positions. We've got winners right through the spine of the team who are going to drive us forward. And in those games like yesterday where it's not quite happening, managing to find a way to win.
I can't believe that we've managed to offload Colquitt as well in amongst all of this. I think that's just an unbelievable bit of business. I have no idea how that has happened. And in return, we've managed to get Charlie Kirk. I am just blown away by that. So massive props for getting that sorted. But I completely agree. When, you know, it's unheard of, really, for us to be sat there and we've got a top striker coming off the bench and Charlie Kirk as well. Like you say, it just gives us so much belief as fans that, yeah, we can win. And if we're not winning, we've got players that can come off the bench and win us a game, like Baker Richardson has done this season. He's come off and he's made a difference, whether he's scoring goals or, you know, as we saw as we were digging in right at the end, when a corner goes in, there's one man that wins it every single time, and it's Baker Richardson. You know, we've talked about it plenty of times on the pod, and he's fantastic. He really is. I just wish that his goal tally kind of starts to match how much of an impact he makes for the whole team. And I feel for him because you can tell the sort of person that he is, and you can tell the sort of striker that he is. He's obviously a confident guy, and it must be affecting him. It must be the fact that he's on the bench all the time, because he's not the sort of guy who wants to sit and warm the bench. He's just not, is he? You know, he's a leader and he wants to be on that pitch. But fair play to him. Whenever he comes off the bench, he always gives it everything. He makes a difference, whether it's in our box or the opposition box.
Yeah, I think he's similar to Cooney in the fact that you want him to be getting better results for the passion that he's putting into it. The other thing, Henry, you mentioned Charlie Colquitt. For anyone who is on Charlie Colquitt watch, Notts County have played 2 games since he signed. He's yet to make the bench. So, yeah, it's going well for him, or as well as it went for him at Crewe. So, Henry, I agree. To be able to free that wage up and then get Charlie Kirk in instead, phenomenal piece of business. Something I think we probably glossed over last week on the podcast. So, good to braise it. Right, we've talked about the subs. They all happened on the 70th minute. We didn't actually talk about the goal that happened on the 61st minute, so we probably should. Tom, do you want to pick up where it comes from, how it happens?
Yeah, it was a nice turn from Luke Offord midway in our attacking half. Feeds out to Shiloh Tracy. Connor Thomas overlaps with Tracy. Initially makes a bit of a mess of it in the corner, but manages to keep the ball. And possibly for the first time in the match, he manages to deliver a cross into that magic area just in front of their defence. And Rio came from nowhere, must absolutely steamed up that left wing and does as he does, meets it perfectly. Goal, cue delirium.
Yeah, I just think the crucial thing after watching us chip balls into the box, their keeper to come and claim, was that they tried something different and put it on the ground and it worked.
Yeah, it's funny as well, because I was chatting to the guy who sits next to me, and we were kind of commenting on the fact that it seems like a while since the defence have chipped in with a goal like they had been doing at the start of the season. It feels a long time since Mickey got a goal. And just so happened to me that Rio popped up and found the winner for us. It's so good, because we obviously need goals to come from anywhere at this stage of the season. We have to win games. It doesn't matter how we win games. And I loved that goal yesterday because it was so bad. It was such a bad goal to score. It's the kind of goal that we concede where we haven't quite dealt with it. The ball's kind of just found its way into the box and then someone was there to just tap it in. It's one of those sickening goals that we concede far too often. And it was clear that we were going to struggle to find an opening to score. And those goals that you just need to go in, it was just fantastic. It was brilliant to see. And it's the mark of a team that are just pushing forward and keeping going and finding a way to get a result. And it's brilliant to see. It really is.
I think one of the things is, H, and we're about a couple of months early for this, but Rio Adebisi is putting in player of the season performances every single week. And yet I am worried that when we do our podcast player of the season, he might come third. Is that fair?
Yeah, I can't see him actually winning player of the year award, but he's been so reliable this season. He's looks like a totally different player to the one who struggled at times last year. Definitely up there with my players of the year.
He's been working hard on his blocking. He put in some fantastic last-ditch blocks on the edge of the area yesterday as well.
I think we're all waiting to see as well whether he can replicate some of what Pickering did with Charlie Kirk on that left-hand side. Obviously, getting way ahead of myself there, but it feels perfect, doesn't it? It feels a perfect fit. Rio, in the form of his life, a returning Charlie Kirk, that left side over the next few months, I'm sure it's going to produce some gold. I really do think it will. I'm
really excited to see that once Kirk's up and running and starting games. Rio overlapping.
15 games left to find that magic between the two of them. Okay, there's a couple of players I want to talk about that we've not really discussed. One, I don't think he put a man of the match performance in, but it is definitely valid for us to talk about him because he has come back into the team in unfortunate circumstances with Tom Booth going out. 1.5 games in since his return, yet to concede a goal. Tom, you can't fault Harvey Davis for that, can you? Quiet game yesterday, but you can't fault it.
I was really happy for him, and the Cresty Road end was chanting his name at one point as well, which is quite the turnaround. He didn't have a lot to do. What he did very well. His positioning was sound, his handling was sound. There was one moment where they put a corner into the near post and he punched it away and had a kind of presence of mind to be there. He was well protected by the defence, and that obviously helps. And he plays a part in getting that defence organised as well. So he's made a really good return to the team. I think Lee Bell is going to have a difficult decision to make now when Boothie's fit again, whether he continues with Harvey or switches back to Boothie, I think I would probably stick with Harvey. I think he's you know, kept two clean sheets. He's performing well. Let's not disrupt a winning formula.
Henry, that leaves you to talk about our new centre-back. He's really turning some heads.
I'm really enjoying that pun to start with. That was fantastic. But also very happy to get a chance to talk about this player, actually. I was raving about him all game. He is brilliant. He's just so good. And you can tell that he obviously has that kind of Premier League pedigree. And he is just so good with the ball. Like he can pass it with his left, pass it with his right. There was a ball that came over the top, a big looping ball. He just took it down on his thigh like it was absolutely the easiest thing in the world. He makes football look so easy. And how, you know, he's only played two games for us and he just looks so comfortable already. Makes the defence around him look comfortable. He's kind of alleviating pressure from Mickey and Offord, you know, who have been standout players of the season. He's come in and... yeah, I'm so happy we've signed him. What a brilliant bit of recruitment that was. Really, really good.
Yeah, and he seems to enjoy a crunching tackle, which is nice to see from a centre-half as well.
I mean, that Leighton Orient promotion team he was in, they were rock solid. I remember them coming to Gresty Road and yeah, we were never going to score against them in a million years. I don't specifically remember terms from that game, but I think he's got some pedigree being part of that group. And can we keep him? He'd be such an asset to us if we could keep him in the team next year.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could tell Brighton next year, we're in League One, give us him, give us Beadle, and we'll play him every week in League One. Yeah, there's just one little last bit I want to mention from the game. Last week at Tranmere, ex-crew player Brad Walker almost stuck it in right at the end. And this week, I was really worried about sort of almost crew midfielder Darcy. Again, from where I'm watching from the cameras, I was really worried that I'd gone into the back of the net, that one right at the end, H.
Yeah, I thought it was in. It would have been a superb goal. But yeah, we breathed a sigh of relief when it just crept the other side of the post.
Okay, so Henry, coming out of the ground yesterday, you must have been pretty happy checking your phone and seeing where crew currently are in the league.
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting few weeks, hasn't it, for the teams around us. Whilst we've been dropping points, we've been fortunate that other teams around us have also been dropping points. And it's quite comforting to see, actually, that these teams are just steamrolling their way to victory and to promotion. Wrexham, I think, lost the last two back-to-back. Barrow lost again. So it's looking great for us in that respect. I think we've got lucky, you know, losing to Salford. There was a time where we were sat second in the league. That obviously got completely flipped on its head. And we've won at a really crucial time yesterday. You know, we're looking good. I don't want to speak too soon because there are so few points between us. There's obviously games in hand as well, but as you know, the old cliche, you'd rather have the points on the board. Absolutely happy with that. Two absolutely enormous games coming up, though, to really show what we're all about and whether we can push and get either the playoffs or even autos, to be fair.
And let's not forget, it's looking like we're going to be switching places with Port Vale.
Tom, I'm going to stop you there. We don't talk about that team because if we do, then they have to send someone into the office to clip it all up and put it all out. And I'm led to believe that club can't afford the overtime right now. So I'll just cut you off there, Tom. But yeah, it is superb at the moment. And just I've just done the Stockport podcast for them. So their version of us. And one of the first questions he asked is, are you overachieving? I said, absolutely. But it's absolutely deserved at the same time. You know, this group of players, this management team is overachieving. But at the same time, they are absolutely getting what they deserve, if that makes sense. I think that's a great place to leave it. So next, we will turn our attention to that Stockport game and the Harrogate game coming up this week. But first, in Cup action, the women's team were home to Fleetwood on Sunday.
Matt, into the next round of the Cup. Happy days.
Yeah, really pleased. I thought, obviously in the cup games, sometimes results are more important than performances. And yeah, we were poor first 20 minutes. We didn't start too well, but we said to the girls at half time we thought they showed great character to get back into the half and get a foothold in it, because I felt like they bogged us in a bit, like I said, the first 20 minutes. But second half, there was only one team that was going to win it, and we showed real conviction in front of goal, which has deserted us a little bit in recent times, so that's pleasing. And yeah, next round.
There was no clean sheet, but I thought it was a pretty solid defensive performance from all the girls at the back today.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to them, they deserved a goal. You know, we were the better team, we deserved to win, there's no doubt about that, but they asked questions of us. I know the defenders and the keeper will always pride themselves on a clean sheet, and unfortunately they didn't get one, but we've limited them to pretty much one chance. The defence has been rock solid all season. You know, we had a team meeting this week where we discussed how few goals we've scored with regards to this season compared to last season, but we've also conceded far, far less. So our goal difference is better, and we just know we need to be more ruthless in the final third, which we showed today. But yeah, defence was class.
And going forward, there was a lot of rotation during the match from the attacking four, I suppose you'd call it. Is that something you've been working on, the versatility of the players playing different roles?
Yeah, we felt like Gibbo's not really seen too much of the ball in wide areas in recent times. So we had a chat about maybe moving a slightly more central, and I think that paid off today. She grabbed herself two goals and was influential in the performance. It added a different dynamic to the front three with Meg Ragdale playing in that front three, and that athleticism with Leah as well. And Amelia did a great job. It was just hard work for him, and we knew we were going to make that change with Mand at some point. And she made the ball stick and got others involved. And it was quite fluid, you know, going forward. And then to be able, you know, they had limited options, and they were sort of running out of steam on sort of 70 minutes. And for us to be blessed with having young legs and being able to bring on players like Eva Rose, Emma Heath, Fallon, like I say, it just meant that the final 20-25 minutes we were just on top. It was just attack after attack.
As you said, they ran out of steam, but that's because they were playing a high press. They were very aggressive at the start of the game. Is that something you knew that would happen? Is that something you planned for?
No, probably not. It surprised us slightly. We knew they had a couple of injuries, so I feel like they probably went all in to try and make some of the game in the first 20 minutes. Had they have gone one or two up, then it might have created a game. I'm guessing that was their plan. There was no way they could have sustained it for the period of time, which is why we said it showed great character from the girls to be able to play through that, because it felt like we weren't keeping the ball. You know, phases of play were breaking down. We were trying to do the right thing, but they were winning first, second balls. But once that had sort of not worked for them and hadn't sort of got the rewards that they were hoping for, it was only ever us. And Leah's scored a great goal against the run of play at a period where probably they were on top of us a little bit. And that's footy, isn't it?
Moving to next week, Macclesfield away in the Cheshire Cup. What are you expecting from that game?
Probably something similar. You know, Mac are a good side. They obviously play at a different level than us, so we feel like the intensity we can bring might be something that they might not be used to. But we know that that's a massive game for both teams. You know, local rivalry, you know, chance to get in the semi-final of the County Cup. So I expect much the same. I expect them to be intense. I expect them to be on us. I expect them to want to beat us, just because that's what we want to do. We've challenged the girls to make that team selection as difficult as possible for next week. It's a bit of a different dynamic in that today we can have five subs from five with rotations, whereas in the County Cup it's three from five. So the rules state that two won't get on if we've got a full fit squad. You know, people won't even get in the squad. So we need people to make it really difficult for us to not put them in that starting 11 because we just don't have the flexibility that we would have in league and league cups.
Is it too early to talk about silverware?
Yeah, definitely. It's all cliche in football, in one game at a time. We know there's in this cup, we have to show respect to this cup, that's what we played in today. We are the top division that's in the cup, so we, you know, the hardest teams we can play in terms of standing would be teams from our league, and we know there's really good teams. We also know there's teams in leagues below that necessarily their performances don't warrant them being there. They've had a real good go at it maybe this year and been financed. So we know that there's teams in leagues below that are really strong just because their league standing states that they're there. That doesn't mean it's not a true reflection. But we know that when we played top teams in our league, we've given as good as we got. We know we can play against the best, so we're confident, but there's still a lot of rounds to go. County Cup, obviously slightly different in that, you know, if we win, we're in the semi-finals. But we also know that Stockport are a National League side and they're really, really strong. We also know that, you know, Tranmere are playing Stockport and they've won the last two competitions on the trot. And then the clubs maybe that are further down the pyramid, like, you know, Nantwich and Northwich and Chester and Macclesfield are well, you know, well funded, really having a good go at it. So I think it's probably going to be the best Cheshire County Cup for women's football that there's ever been, just because of the talent that's on show.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Right, H, there's two games this week. I'd say they're both quite tricky. The first is a little matter of a trip down the road to top of the league, Stockport County.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, partly because it's the only football league ground I can walk to from where I live. So it'll be a nice local one for me. But I think Stockport are top of the league and clearly on merit. I think they were one of the best teams we've seen this year. They outplayed us at Gresty Road. It's obviously going to be a really tricky game, but this team, they don't seem to know when they're beaten. They're working hard every week, and there's no reason we can't get a point, maybe even three.
Stockport are in good form, but they've not been infallible. Havergut held them to a draw at their place a couple of weeks ago. Dave Artell absolutely gift-wrapped two goals for them yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the highlights of the Grimsby game. So if we can keep it tight, and I'm sure we will, and I have a feeling that we'll probably set up a bit like we set up for the Mansfield game, we've got a chance, definitely.
I think the biggest concern for me is that when we played Stockport at home, I thought we were excellent for the first 45 minutes, but we had to be excellent just to stay in the game. And I have a lot of respect for Stockport, actually. There's some teams that I really can't stomach losing to. Salford, I was not happy for days after that result. But I came away from that Stockport loss and I just had to say, fair play. They were brilliant. We were brilliant, but they were better than us. And their pressure showed and they got the result that they deserved. And, you know, you had to hold your hands up and just say fair enough for a good team. And it worries me Tuesday that we might see the same thing again. I'm obviously hopeful because of how we're playing at the moment and the results and the personnel that we've got. I do believe we can go there and give them a really good game again. But if they play as well as they did when we played them at home, then unfortunately we are going to struggle to beat them. They are a very good team. And like you say, they're top of the league for a reason.
Yeah, Nick Powell's got fit and looks in ominous form at the moment as well, doesn't he?
To go back to what you said originally, H, about them being very good, I think they are by far the best team I've watched in League Two this year. I think when we played Barrow at home and lost, there was a few people, I think there was even people on here saying they weren't very good. And I disagreed with that. I thought Barrow were very good at what they did. They were very much, this is how we're going to play football. We're going to score goals like this and you're not going to get anywhere near our goal. I thought when we watched Stockport, they were good at that, but then they also had the players at the other end as well to cause problems for us. And I think you're also right, Henry. And you say, I thought we dealt with them really, really well. I think the biggest problem with that game was they lost the League Two player of the month, probably the League Two player of the season, Louis Barry. And that's obviously a big loss to them. But we lost Jack Powell, and that was a much bigger loss to us and our squad than Louis Barry was to them and their squad. I really want us to give them a game. They are, I hate them more than I hate Port Vale. I put it on record. I'm from Holmes Chapel. Stockport's down my train line. I don't like Stockport. I don't like the way, I'll give you a little indicator of why. I was asked to answer questions from a couple of their fans every time they mentioned Barry Bennell. I don't want to do that. It's nothing to do with me. The club has moved on. They're obsessed with it and I don't want to talk about it. I want us to win. I want us to give them a game. I want us to do better than we did there last year. That was the worst point of a very poor couple of years. No, that's not fair. The relegation was worse than 3-0 at Stockport on Boxing Day, but it was a low point. I want us to win. I really do.
I've got a bit of family pride riding on it as well because my brother and his kids are season ticket holders at Stockport. So I would love it if we beat them. Love it.
All right. Kevin, what's the score going to be on Tuesday?
I'm going to go 0-0. I think it'll be a tight shutout.
Henry, what's the score going to be?
1-1.
H?
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-1 as well.
All right. Draws all around. Win for me. 3-0 win. I spoke to Russ from the Scarf Bagara War for the Stockport perspective on the season.
Hi, Russ. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. We'll start then, if we can, with the game in October at Crewe. It was a 2-0 Stockport win. Personally, I didn't really think Crewe got going in that game, but you were obviously watching it from a Stockport perspective. What were your thoughts on that game?
Very good win, as far as we're concerned. We came into that on a good run, and we were looking at Crewe thinking this is the biggest test so far this season. I think you were top goal scorers in the English leagues at the time. So we were thinking, blimey, we've got a job on our hands tonight. And we came through it with flying colours and we beat you 2-0. So from our perspective, really, really pleased. And since then, we've kind of gone on a up and down sort of momentum, but we're firing back now. So we're pleased with how it's going.
There was a couple of big injuries in that game, one for each of us. You know, we lost Jack Powell, which I think is massive for us. But you lost Louis Barry, who, to be honest with you, it looked like at the time before that game that he's simply playing in a league that isn't anywhere near his standard. Is that the case? And have you sort of recovered from that? How is he getting on?
Yeah, he's still injured. He's probably back in March. Yeah, I mean, Louis Barry, to be fair, is a cheat code for this division. He was just unbelievable before he got injured, and we were gutted when he got injured. We're actually thinking what we're going to do now, since that injury. But all the other players have stepped up, and we have got an embarrassment of riches. Our objective is to get to the Championship, which, you know, us and you guys know all about that. So we've other players have stepped up, and we've had other injuries as well. I think at one point we had 9 injuries. 9 first team players, or players that are capable of playing in the first team, out. So those are starting to come back. But yeah, Louis Barry, he just sort of, for this division, he keeps the ball in places where you wouldn't expect him to keep the ball. So like down on the touchline, he will keep it almost, you know, within above knee height but below chest, where you don't think it's a player at this level would keep it. And he does. He just keeps it at that sort of area and runs down to the touchline, and he'll get, you know, he'll come inside and cut into the box. And it's just a joy to behold. We've not seen a player like that at County probably since I've been going, which is late 80s, you know, up until now. And of course, we've got Nick Powell as well, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But yeah, he's a class. But Louis Barry, yeah, when he comes back, and we kind of think when he does come back, that's going to be like a new signing for us, because he is staying with us till the end of the season now, which was the plan all along. But it's almost like, well, we're top of the league. We're doing really well now. And when he comes back, God, it's going to be like, it's almost unfair for the rest of the division almost.
You just mentioned Nick Powell. My next question was players that will be playing on Tuesday night that we should look out for. Most Crewe fans know all about Nick Powell. Who else is there? I mean, we don't want this to be a 1-hour discussion about going through the squad, but there is quite a few players to look out for, isn't there?
Yeah, there's lots. I mean, the ones that you're going to look out for definitely is Anthony Sarcevic. He is League One player. You know, he's League One material, and he started the first game yesterday in the win against Grimsby and scored the first goal. He'll be playing out. I'm pretty sure he'll start on Tuesday. Nick Powell, like you say, yeah, another really fantastic, important player for us. There's quite a few. I won't go through them all, but Anthony Sarcevic is probably the one that you're going to watch out for.
Okay, a couple more questions for you, Russ, then I'll let you go. The first one is, in the position you're in now, to not win the league title, would that be a disappointment, or would you take second place?
We would take third and above. I think that's the general consensus, but we're in a really good position. You know, let's make no bones about it. We're thinking probably another 20, 25 points will do it. That'll get us at least up, and that's the plan. We want to win it. You know, who wouldn't? We haven't won a football league title since 1967. So although National League North and National League titles are really good, it's not a football league title. So we're going to celebrate this one really, really more than the others, I would say. But yeah, it'd be a travesty if we didn't go up. But third and above is the target. Winning it is a massive bonus. But, you know, we're in a really good position. So, you know, why not?
All right, last question then. What's the score going to be Tuesday night?
Good question. I always get nervous ahead of games, generally, and it's Crewe. It's a bit of a derby. We've got a bit of history. I'm gonna say we're gonna edge it 2-1. I'm gonna say with yeah, just about edge it 2-1. But you are gonna give us a massive test because you're playing really well. You've sneaked into the automatics, I think. So yeah, it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be the latest test for us, but I think if we go into third and fourth gear, I think we'll just about edge it, hopefully.
Russ, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
Okay, Henry, they don't come any easier, or maybe they do slightly, but after Stockport, we're at home to seventh place Harrogate. So it's a tough week, isn't it?
It's interesting though, because there seems to be these teams that are not coming from nowhere, but it kind of changes. Obviously, Barrow have done that and then gone further up the table. MK were there for a while, Gillingham were there for a while. Seems like Harrogate are now the team to be kind of creeping up into the playoff places. It's going to be a tough match, but whenever we play at home, we always have a very good opportunity to win the match. I think we'll beat them. I do. I think we'll beat them. I think we'll rise to the occasion. I think the players will understand the task. I think they'll know how crucial it is for the season, and I think we'll win. I do.
No League Two team has picked up more points in their last 10 games than Harrogate. I mean, they've come from nowhere. I mean, they were battling relegation at one point, and they've gone from 18th to 7th in about 2 months. It's an extraordinary rise. I mean, you look at their last five, and it must be said they've had some pretty easy games. They've generally played teams at the lower end of the division, so it'll be interesting to see how they get on against us. But yeah, I mean, it's a game we've got to win if we want to go up. I think we will win.
Yeah, H, I don't know if you saw the game at their place earlier in the season, but when I watched that, I would have been very shocked if you'd have said by the time we get back to our game at Gresty Road, they would be in the playoff places.
Yeah, so I wasn't at Harrogate away, so I haven't seen much of them at all this year, and I think, like everyone else, it surprised me a bit that they've suddenly found themselves on the outskirts of the playoffs.
Henry. No Rod McDonald in the last couple of games. I don't know if he's injured at the moment, but what sort of reaction would he get on Saturday if were he to line up?
It would be fine, wouldn't it? He was great for us. We all enjoyed watching him play for us. There's no bad blood there, is there? He's entitled to make a move to another League Two club if that's what he wants to do. That's completely up to him. He was great for us. He always put in a great shift. So I think we'd all give him a nice applause and whatever else, and then beat his team. So absolutely fine. No problem with me.
I was looking last night. He doesn't seem to have played since November, so I can only assume he's injured. I'd be surprised if they'd be leaving out a player of the quality of Rod. They had another ex-Alex alumni, Kane Ramsey, who they've just sold to Charlton. So he's and apparently he's played really well for them too. I don't think we ever really saw enough of him at Gresty Road before he got injured to form too much of a view on him. So they've lost a decent player as well in defence, and I think that's what their recent success has really been attributed to, is being good in defence. So it'll be interesting to see whether that has any effect.
Okay. H, I'll start with you this time. What's the score going to be?
We're at home. I'm going to be optimistic. 2-0 win.
Henry?
Yeah, 2-0 for me as well.
And Tom?
I'll go a tight 1-0.
Lovely. Okay. I spoke to Jordan to get the Harrogate perspective on the game. Hiya, Jordan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. We'll start, if we can, with the game at your place in October. It was a 1-0 win for Crewe. What was the thoughts for you, the Harrogate fans, at the time?
I think it early on in the season, we were a different team. It was a new team, lots of new players. I think we were struggling at home. We lost quite a lot of home games around that particular time, but we've now playing with a lot more confidence. So I'd like to think a better performance from us lot on Saturday.
So you've just mentioned, it was a bit of a different team. What's happened since? I think it's been quite a positive story since that game.
Yeah, the main change is probably the goalkeeper. Got I'm going to say fortunate. Our main keeper, number one, Mark Oxley, he got injured. Round about that time, we brought in another keeper, Jonathan Mitchell, who then subsequently got injured, and we managed to get our old keeper, James Belshaw, back on an emergency loan. Since then, he has signed for us, so he's now our player. He's probably the best keeper I've seen at the club. He just has so much confidence, and you can see that confidence throughout the defence. Massive, massive difference. And I think that's really what sort of kicked us on and why we picked up so many results, good results recently.
There is one player, he's not really featured, I think it's since November, is Rod McDonald. What's going on there? Is he injured at the moment?
Yeah, he picked up an injury, albeit I think he's only recently come back into training. So I think he's hopeful to be able to get back into the match day squad. A lot of the town supporters would have said at the start of the season he was our best defender. Really assured player, lots of experience. But the way we're playing at the moment, I think he may struggle to get back into the first team.
At the moment then, as we talk at the weekend, Harrogate have just got themselves into playoff places. Is that sustainable? Do you see that being a serious challenge for the playoffs?
I can't see why not. We're used to winning as a club the last 5-6 seasons. We've just had a lot of success, 2 promotions. Not expected at all. I think ourselves and lots of other supporters are expecting Harry to struggle. I was just hoping there'll be 2 worst teams in the league. So to be in that position, absolutely delighted with it. Unexpected. We've got some really tough games coming up. Tuesday we're away at Mansfield, and then we're playing yourselves. So and we've also got Wrexham coming up, all away from home. But our home form this season has been excellent. Start the season at home, we lost quite a few games, including against yourself, but that's picked up as well. So can't see any reason why not. We've certainly got a very good squad playing with confidence. We're picking up results when we're not playing particularly well. Yesterday, thought it was going to end in a draw. First half we were shocking. The second half we played a lot better. But yeah, we're fortunate to come away with the result. But I think it's a sign of a good team when you can not play well but still pick up points.
Absolutely. Jordan, I've got one final question for you before I let you go. What's the score going to be on Saturday?
I always hate doing this because I never get it right. I think a lot of town fans would be happy with a draw against, yeah, I mean, it's a 6-pointer for us. I think you guys are what, 9 points ahead of us, but we've got a game in hand. So it's important for us. If we can get the victory and then win our game in hand, it really closes the gap. So but I'm gonna say a draw. I'll go for 1-1.
All right, Jordan, thank you so much for your time.
You're more than welcome. Cheers.
Not much to finish off with this week. Just a little last man standing update. There was only 4 people left going into this weekend's fixtures. H, I'm afraid to say it was your mum, was the only one that crashed out. So 3 left. Unfortunately, the money isn't staying in the Robinson family. So we will finish there then, but we'll be back next Monday. Until then, Tom, H, Henry, thank you so much for coming on today.
No worries.
Thank you very much. Thanks to you.
Thank you, as ever, for listening. We will be back to discuss the Stockport and Harrogate games next week. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, 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 bomb